Sean Patrick Maloney, Congressman, what's the Zadroga Act?
The Zadroga Act is about getting health care for first responders at 9/11. And for those of, who may not have been following this over the last few years, there was a tremendous battle waged by folks representing New York. I know Senator Gillibrand in particular was a hero on this. And it's a basic idea that a lot of people in our neck of the woods are still suffering from the long-term health effects of working on the pile, of working in the rescue efforts at 9/11. And this is going to just reauthorize that for the next 25 years. And it's very important. You know, there's so many people in Orange County that I represent who are firefighters, who are first responders, not to mention people who were just working down there that day, but people who really answered the call, people who went down there and risked their lives. You know, a lot of folks never came back, as we know. A lot of folks did come back, but they weren't the same, and they have long-term health effects because they spent weeks breathing that material down there, trying to save lives, trying to protect the rest of us. And we just owe them this debt, and we should not nickel and dime it. We need to support it.
Is there a way to make sure that everybody who gets this help, 9/11 responders, was actually there? I mean, there are those people who have tried to take advantage of it, and do you think it's fail-safe?
Well, I think you could look at any good faith effort to take care of our heroes and say there's going to be unscrupulous or evil people who would try to take advantage of that for their own benefit. They're going to have a problem with their maker when they die. I mean, I can't think of anything more evil than trying to take advantage of a program like this. But I'll tell you what, if we got a government that's inefficient in a lot of ways, I can tolerate some inefficiency and even some fraud if we can't find it all, if it means getting the help to the people who risk their lives for us. I mean, there are 33,000 people who we think are in some way affected by this. The overwhelming percentage of those, I'm sure, are very deserving. And, I can take some inefficiency if it means getting help for the people who really deserve it.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about the House budget, the GOP budget. What are your thoughts?
Well, we have seen now for a number of years, I oppose, and let me tell you why. I mean, we've seen now for a number of years this really misguided effort by Chairman Paul Ryan, now on the Ways and Means Committee, to sell us this bill of goods, which is we can have huge tax cuts for the very wealthiest, we can increase defense spending more than the Pentagon wants, and we can end Medicare as we have always known it and turn it into what he'd call a premium support program, others would call a voucher program, and we can somehow move towards a balanced budget in this. But just think about that. If you're giving huge tax cuts to the very wealthiest and you're increasing defense spending more than the Pentagon wants, you put yourself way behind in the goal of trying to balance the budget, because the first two things you do, blow a hole in the deficit. And then you come along and you say, well, we're going to try to reach balance by going after people on Medicare who've been paying into this system their whole lives, a program that is working well, that is costing less per patient now than it did the year before, first time in its history. The cost numbers on that are coming in the right direction anyway. We have saved a trillion dollars over the next 10 years off our debt and deficit just by the reduction in health care inflation in this country. So we are moving in the right direction, and we have extended the life of the Medicare Trust Fund for years and years. You may remember I ran a campaign against somebody who wanted to end the current program, same idea Paul Ryan has. So I just think it's a bad idea, and I don't think it's the right way to balance our budget. I voted against the Republican budget because I would like to see us move towards balance rapidly, but with our priorities straight. The way we've done this before, these guys talk about it. We actually did it in the 90s. And we didn't go after Medicare, and we didn't go after Social Security, and we didn't stop investing in schools and in infrastructure and in the things that grow our economy and help hardworking families. We can do this. We should do it the right way.
You mentioned health care. Every doctor I've been talking to lately, Democrats, Republicans, say basically they're getting screwed by the reimbursement rate and what they have to do and the amount of paperwork. Do you subscribe to that?
Well, as you know, we recently in the House passed what's called the doc fix permanently, meaning we permanently fix the problem they're complaining about. This was an effort, a well-intentioned but clunky effort a few years back to cap essentially the reimbursement rates that docs would receive under the Medicare program. The problem was that the numbers were all wrong. It was going to drive people out of the Medicare program, really hurt patients.
You mean doctors out? Doctors
yeah,
out of the program.
Doctors
yeah.
out, excuse me. Yeah. So for years now, Congress has been doing these short-term fixes. It's disguised the problem. It's been a mess. In a bipartisan effort a couple weeks ago, you know, we permanently fixed that problem. And I have to say it was a good example of what working across the aisle can do. It's up before the Senate right now, where I will predict you it will also pass, and that's a good step forward. And it will make Medicare stronger. It will make it more available where people need it, and it'll keep our doctors from wondering whether they're going to get paid for the services they provide. So it's a good compromise. I was proud to support it.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit. We got 3 minutes left in our segment here about your anti-bullying efforts. What is the particular motivation you have personally for doing this?
Well, look, I think anybody who comes from a community that is a little bit different knows what it means to be marginalized or to be ridiculed for your difference. You know, and one of the great things about America is that we believe that, you know, we're all in this together and that we don't have anybody to waste. And my goodness, when we're talking about kids going to school and trying to learn, no kid should feel unsafe going to school. This isn't kind of the way it always is. This isn't what we all remember. This is about whether kids are so nervous when they show up for class that they can take a state test like we're doing this week in, you know, English and math, whether they can perform just the everyday stuff that kids have to do. And so, you know, adults are the ones who need to guarantee that schools are safe. And that starts with just absolute restrictions on kids being hurt, kids being bullied. And there shouldn't be any controversy about
it. And how do you stop it?
It shouldn't matter what the reason is.
And how do you stop it, Sean?
Well, you have to have policies in place, and it starts with education like everything else. I mean, for a long time, I think, you know, adults would have viewed this as just the normal stuff that happens at school, and there would have been certain types of kids who got picked on, and everybody sort of thought that there was some sort of sense to that, and it's just wrong, and it's just an ignorant and outdated view about what it means to be different. We need to have a culture in this country that says it doesn't matter where you worship, it doesn't matter who you love, it doesn't matter what color you are, it doesn't matter what gender you are. Everybody counts. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets a fair shot. And if you're a kid, you are going to be protected and safe in your school, period. And that's all this is about.
Is there any sense that you have that people are buying into it? I mean, old days, as you remember, you know, the father said to the kid, you got to learn how to stand up for yourself. You got to fight them. You know, that, of course, is ridiculous. So is there any sense that it's working?
Look, I'm all for teaching kids to stand up for themselves, but I think adults have a responsibility to be adults and to make sure that schools are safe spaces and that bullies are countered not by some kid showing extraordinary courage or maturity, but by an adult intervening and saying we don't let that happen here. And we know that this changes the way schools act. A good teacher, a good administrator, he's never going to allow an abusive situation, somebody acting out of animus towards someone's religion or someone's race or someone's sexual orientation. It's just common sense, but it needs to be applied. There need to be standards and policies. That's it. It's it's going to make everybody better off.
Sean Patrick Maloney, I certainly agree with you. Having been in the bullied stage myself,
that's what forged in you the desire to be a radio interviewer.
Get even with all of them.
Just get even with all of them.
Not at all, but thank you, Sean. And when we come back the next time, let's talk about fast track authority for the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Happy to do it.